Hello, welcome to Morning Manna, September the 12th, 2021. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us to this new day, that we can begin our study of your word and understand all the things that you have in store for us. We ask that you would give us the way to walk, that we might see you clearly before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's subject is, who is the greatest? Who is the greatest? And, of course, the date is September the 12th, 2021, and we're still working with Bible Readings for the Home Circle, published in 1889. At the last Passover, what did Christ say to his disciples? Luke 22, verses 15 and 16 says, "And he said unto them, With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Concerning what had there been a strife among the disciples, Luke 22 and verse 24 says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." So how did Christ rebuke this spirit? Luke 22, verses 25 and 26 says, "And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, but he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is a thief is chief, as he that doeth service." So that's verse 25 and 26 of Luke 22. Also, you're called upon to take a look at Mark 10, verses 42 through 45. Remember now, "And he said unto them, The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doeth service." So what did the Savior say of his own position? Verse 27 of Luke 22 says, "For whether he is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he's at service, is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth." Notwithstanding that he was their Lord and Master, what example of humility and willing service did Christ give? John 13, verses 4 and 5 says, "He riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." What was the custom anciently respecting feet washing? Notice that Genesis 18 and verse 4, and also Genesis 19 and verse 2, says this, "Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet." And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet." And the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and gave them water, and they washed their feet. Now, of course, that's Genesis chapter 18 and verse 4. And also, you can look at Genesis chapter 19 and verse 2, or Genesis chapter 43 and verse 24. You can also check Judges chapter 19 and verse 21 or 2 Samuel chapter 11 and verse 8. So how did Christ reprove Simon for misjudging him in permitting a woman who was a sinner to wash his feet? Luke 7 and verse 44 says, "And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou givest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head." Notice from the scriptures just cited, it appears that the usual custom in Christ's time was for the guests to wash their own feet. As sandals were ineffectually guard against the dust and heat of an eastern climate, washing the feet on entering a house was an act both of respect to the company and of refreshment to the traveler. At a feast, it was an oriental custom for servants or slaves to wash the feet of guests. It was not the custom, however, of equals to wash the feet of equals, much less for superiors to wash the feet of inferiors. But this is the very thing that Christ did when he washed the disciples' feet and instituted the ordinance of feet washing. In this lies the lesson of humility and willingness to serve, which he designed to teach. What question did Peter ask concerning this proffered service? John 13 and verse 6 says, "Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet?" What answer did Jesus make? John 13 and verse 7 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter." How did Peter feel about the Savior's washing his feet? John 13 and verse 8 says, "Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet." What was the Master's reply to Peter? John 13, the same verse 8 says, "Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." Notice that this ordinance is a type of a higher cleansing, the cleansing of the heart from the stain of sin. It is a rebuke to all selfishness and seeking of place and preferment among Christ's professed followers, and a witness to the fact that in God's sight, it is true humility and loving service which constitute real greatness. What learning about the union with Christ depended on this service, and what did Peter say concerning it? John 13 and verse 9 says, "Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." After having washed their feet, what did Christ say? John 13 and verse 15 says, "I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you." What did he say about their washing one another's feet? John chapter 13, verses 13 and 14 says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet." What did Christ say would be their experience in obeying his instruction? John 13 and verse 17 says, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." So how does Christ regard an act performed towards the humblest of his disciples? Matthew 25 and verse 40 says, "Inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Notice the great lesson intended to be taught by the institution of the ordinance evidently was such humility as would lead to willing service for others. The ordinance itself had been practiced by many of the most devout followers of Christ during the Christian era, and is still observed by some. Cato, in his Encyclopedia of Biblical Literature, says it became a part of the observance of the early Christian church, and that traces of the practice abound in ecclesiastical history. The Waldenses held it as an ordinance of the church. And of course, and according to the Encyclopedia of Biblical Literature, in Volume 3, the Church of England at first carried out the letter of this command. It is a great rest of character and a great test of the same character, and its observance tends to unite hearts in Christian fellowship and love. It is impossible for us to understand the concept of humility and love except we engage in the practices of what Christ engaged in. He, with all of his love and all of his power and all of his godliness, still was humble enough to do for others that which no one seemed to want to do for one another. The feet carried much dust and dirt as people walked hundreds of miles. But when the time came for the feet to be washed, he did not pause or hesitate to see who would move first. But he moved first. This ought to be an incredible lesson for us. God does not wait on us to satisfy the needs that are around us. He allows us an opportunity to make the first choice, to make the first move. How often have we made the first move? Even when that particular ordinance is practiced in our church today. And what about the choices that we make? Whose feet do we choose to wash? Do we choose someone that we know, or a family member, or a friend? Or do we decide that we are going to choose someone today with whom we have not had that kind of closeness? Or perhaps there has been a little tension between us and someone. Maybe the opportunity to wash feet might be an opportunity of healing, of coming together again, of worshiping together and closing the gap that has separated. God in his mercy understood not just the symbolism of the foot washing, but the importance of it, the power that it allowed us to experience as we came close to one another. And not just close to one another, but we washed one another's feet. Today God is calling you to an act of humility, regardless of what that is. And sometimes we are able to carry out the work of humility in the church with the act of foot washing, but we're not able to carry out the same attitude of humility when we're dealing with people outside of the building. God desires us to practice these elements of character so that we might reflect him in every detail of our lives. He expects us to not only practice it in our daily life, but to have that feeling of humility, that desire to be like him, that pleasing calmness that fills the heart when we see someone in need of help and are willing to help, are willing to inspire, are willing to cheer up so that they might walk according to your will. Too frequently, God gives us an opportunity to do exactly that, and we turn from it. We do not allow ourselves to experience the joy of being helpful, of being the source of healing, of being the source of provision. And this is all God has ever called us to be. In his description of us, he sees us as like him, called to this earth to do for others that which he did for us. So today, perhaps it's time for you to take another look. Another look at what God is calling you to be, what God is calling you to do, what God is calling you to accomplish. It is one thing to surrender intellectually to God, but it's another thing entirely to be a servant like Christ to those who are in need of assistance. Our hearts can be filled with joy when we know that we have helped someone. Someone who was desperately in need of help and found no way out except through the helping hand provided not by us, but provided by the God of heaven and earth, using our hands to accomplish the goal. God is calling us today to be examples of what he has been. And that particular experience, the washing of the feet, is a supreme example. The concept of washing the feet also shows that the lowest possible action was taken. The lowest possible organ was washed. And it was a symbol of the cleansing of the blood of the sinfulness in that whose feet it was, so that we might turn from our wicked ways and not just ask for forgiveness, but come with an attitude of hatred for sin. I do believe that the concept of iniquity is a serious one. But if we just ask for forgiveness but do not hate the sin, then the probability is that we will return to that action over time. Perhaps after we have asked for forgiveness for our sins, we should turn to God and ask Him for the strength that is necessary to resist future temptations of the same sort or some of another sort, so that we might indeed be followers of Him. This is what He would want us to do today. This is how He would like us to walk today. This is what God would have us accomplish today. And so as we fill our hearts with His Word, let this not be just an intellectual experience, but let it be a powerful experience, one that drives us closer to Him, one that in every case and in every moment, our bodies and our minds reflect the same choices that He made. And with those choices, demonstrate that we are indeed children of the King. Where do you stand today? Is the concept of foot washing too belittling for you? Do you actually believe that somebody should wash your feet, but you're not going to wash anybody's feet? How often have you avoided the ceremony itself simply because you've had that problem? I've heard many people discuss the feet that they have washed, and some people are not at all positive about their experiences. There are those who have bugs and all kinds of things on our feet and swellings of all sorts, and there's nothing that you can do about it. You can wash them and place things on them, but they just won't go away. Imagine someone chosen to wash those feet, and then for weeks after that, just talking about what the feet felt like and what was the issue regarding their health. When in actual fact, you were asked to wash those feet, not for His health, but for yours. Today God is calling you to demonstrate with an attitude of humility, an attitude of repentance, so that everything that He places in your hand, you might be willing to fulfill and ultimately be rewarded at the gates of heaven because you have been consistent. Today God is calling you, above all who are around you, He is calling you not to kneel on the ground and drink water from the little rivulet, but to dip as you run. Because there is an urgency to the time in which we live. There is a serious moment in time when all of this will suddenly come to an end. We won't have the opportunity to enjoy some of the things that we enjoy right now, including a prayer line like this, where we can come and just talk and share God's truth and pray with one another. But soon, there will be those who will attempt to stifle the truth and replace it with something else. Are you ready for that? Are you committed to the course of heaven? Are you looking forward with great anticipation to the sound of the trumpet, to the opening up of the graves, out of which will come those who are waiting patiently for Christ to come forward? If that is your process, if that is your desire today, if you're looking for a Christ who is buried and is coming forward, or who came forward and arose and went to heaven and has promised to return so that He might cleanse you externally and internally and might develop in you a hatred for sin so that you will walk away from anything that is unchristlike. If that is your desire today, I'm going to ask you to just kneel with me as we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we recognize your mercy. We're grateful for your kindness in telling us in advance all of the things that will come to pass. Help us not to be afraid of the future, but help us to grant our lives into your hand as master of the future, so that we might walk according to your will and ultimately be saved eternally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, God is calling you to do something special. What will that special thing be? Are you going to be a servant, helping others to see Christ? Are you going to be the example that he wants you to be? Are you going to be indeed the greatest? This has been Morning Manna, September the 12th, 2021.